as I am, I'm ready to go.
You're on.
Okay. Some important highlights on sermons. So let's let you be noted of this. According to your congregation, there are bad sermons and there are short sermons, but there is no such thing as a bad short sermon. It never fails that when an awesome sermon is preached, it never fails that members of the congregation cannot remember the scripture citation or even what that awesome sermon was about. Have the congregation stand for the last hymn just before the message. That will start everyone off awake. The number of faithful tithers in a congregation and the amount in the offering plate is in direct inverse proportion to the number of sermons the pastor delivers on stewardship and tithing. Is that stewardship week? Did you have stewardship? Yeah. Went on for weeks and weeks. Stewardship message. Absolutely. I haven't taught a stewardship message. I don't know if I ever have. Almost everyone is capable of being a Pharisee from time to time. You can judge the length. Now, this one is if you're for a married preacher. This is for a married preacher. You can judge the length of your sermon by the length of responses from your spouse in answer to the question, well, how was my sermon? How was my sermon? And he says, honey, how was my sermon, honey? I don't think if I would pray, I'd ever ask my wife that. I would never ask my wife that. Anyway, how was my sermon, honey? If she responds, fine. That means it was way too long. It was okay. That means it was a bit lengthy. It was really good this week. That means you hit just right. Always remember those nods of agreement that you're seeing in the congregation may not be nods of agreement. They're sleeping. When the congregation starts to... This one I like. Now close with this one. Just close the joke reading. Don't get ready to leave. When the congregation starts to lose interest and doze off, you can awaken them by saying loudly, and finally, or in conclusion. This will only work about four times per sermon. So you can only use that four times in one message. All right. Let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. I was compelled to ask these questions. Sometimes I feel nosy, taking regular things, but is John okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. All right. So, Jim Passmore, family things, and I wanted to just go by, and I thought, well, he'll just, gosh, does he take roll, and I'm not there, I want y'all to know I miss you. I'm not taking roll or checking up. It's just seeing if everything's okay. I always felt like that being a bachelor, I could just lie there for about, what would it be if it happened Wednesday night? Y'all wouldn't know until Sunday. If I died Wednesday night, nobody would know. Maybe y'all might come over Sunday to see what's going on. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe it'd be the following week. Well, he's not here. Let's go.
We'll be there Sunday.
Oh, okay. Good.
Here on Sunday.
So if anything happens on Wednesday night, I'll hang on until Sunday afternoon.
That's wrong. He's not here.
Okay. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And please remember all the people that we've been in prayer for. My friend Mickey Bell and his heart. His mother also needs our prayers. Let's see, what else do we have in prayer? Just remember the people and each other. Please be in prayer. I do know Nancy Becker is still suffering, and they're still, even today, still working to see what can be done. Please be in prayer for the pain in her body. Her husband's going to drag her out of freezing cold Missouri down to sunny California, even though she's feeling bad. He's going to drag her down there to the sunshine and all that. So that'll be nice. But just need to be in prayer for each other. And so let's begin with our prayer. One of the most wonderful things about the Bible, Heavenly Father, is that your Spirit takes us into places that we could never go. In Revelation, He takes us into the third heaven. He takes us behind the scenes of eternity future. What's going to happen in the future? He takes us into heaven that we can see these things. And now, Heavenly Father, Your Spirit takes us into the upper room. Things that happened. Conversations. We pray, Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes now, and that these things be a challenge to us, and the Spirit making these things real to us. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We are in. First of all, we have Christ betrayed. So we have the betrayal by Judas and the plots and schemes of Satan. The next thing we had was glorification. And the glorification is the cross work of Christ. Then the next thing we have in our study is departure. This is the resurrection and ascension and even the session of Jesus Christ, Christ leaving the earth. And then we have the new commandment. The new commandment is going to be given because of His departure. He's going to give us a new commandment. And with all of this, people, and how this affects us, I was watching just in the background, not sitting down carefully watching, but I was watching some movie. I don't even remember the movie, but there's an interesting line in the movie that struck me, that caught my ear, and one person said to the other, "Have you ever wanted to be a part of something really important in history?" And I got to thinking about the line. I don't even remember what happened in the program. But yes, I do. The man turned to her, the woman that said that to him, and he says, "I am. I'm married to you." And he was being very romantic and very serious, but she wanted to be more. But people, you and I are part of something not only related to history, but to eternity. You may not think so, and just living your little life where you do, and you got bills to pay, and we're not all that important before the world and all. But people, we're part of something that is so phenomenally important. Something that's going on in history that is really, if you want to put it in perspective, what history is all about. We're part of it. And that is the glorification of Christ by loving as Christ loved. And it's not easy to do. It's easy to do in the sense of just faith in the Spirit, but it is most difficult under so many circumstances in life. Now, let's, to get ourselves into momentum where we left off last week, let's read verse 33 in John 13, "Little children," an endearing term, "I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now I say to you also." Now, this took us to an understanding. And with the departure of Jesus Christ, we have Him, He's going to depart, and that's going to leave a void as far as the earth is concerned. And that void is going to be covered by the sending of the Holy Spirit. So with the departure of Christ, Jesus Christ is going to leave, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and take His place. And as we regarded Christ, we now regard the Holy Spirit. As we trusted Christ and followed Christ, the disciples and the people that were with Him in His generation, the public ministry part, then we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We follow Him. We trust Him to guide us. This very important event of history is something that has been played through the Bible. And we see it played, for an example, with Moses and Joshua, and how Moses takes the children out of Egypt and Joshua is going to lead them in. Moses hands the baton over to Joshua, and that's where we left off in that midst of that studying. But I just put it while we're at this point. It's given again in a very dramatic way, where the prophet Elijah, and we'll see this tonight, Elijah is going to depart, and Elisha, and we got some beautiful things in that study, is going to take his place. And Joshua, I'll show you this, related to the Holy Spirit. Elisha is related to the Holy Spirit, so that you don't miss this if your eyes are open to letting the Spirit reveal these things to us. Now, last week, we took up seven things about Moses and Joshua. Let me just read those very quickly. Take me, I hope, less than 60 seconds, and then we'll move into following right behind that. One, Moses, sent or called by God to lead the people out of bondage of Egypt. This is analogous to man being in the slave market of sin and being bound to the penalty of sin and Jesus Christ delivering us. Point two, then after leading them out, Moses was told by God that he would not be allowed to enter into the promised land. Point three, Moses must depart so that Israel can enter the promised land. He will have to depart. Then will come Joshua, taking the place of Moses, to lead them into the land. Point four, Joshua was sent by God to lead the people into the promised land. Analogous to Jesus Christ turning the baton over to the Holy Spirit to deliver us. So point five, just as God was present with his people by the presence of Moses, he is now present with his people through the presence of Joshua. In other words, just as he was present with us in reference to Jesus Christ, he is now present with us through the Holy Spirit. Six, Moses, what Moses was to the people in delivering out of Egypt, he was the deliverer. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. As Joshua, delivering him into the land, that's the Holy Spirit delivering us, walking by the Holy Spirit. Point seven, what is interesting is that throughout the service of Moses and Joshua was his servant, then Joshua took the place of Moses. In other words, for a while, Joshua was the servant of Moses. Then he takes Moses' place. The Holy Spirit is the servant of Jesus Christ, and then he will take his place. As far as the church is concerned. Now we're ready for the next segment of this. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 24 for point one. We're going to start right off with points, but turn to Exodus chapter 24. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 24:13. Okay, 24:13. So Moses arose with Joshua, his servant. See what I'm doing is taking right off where we left off. That's why I wanted to read those first 7 points. Now, we're under point one, new frame now. So Moses arose with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Now look with me at Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 11. Numbers 11. And here, verse 28. Numbers 11, 28. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses, from his youth, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. Now, what I'm doing here is showing you that Joshua was the servant of Moses. Joshua was there all along with Moses. And what we want to understand is the Holy Spirit was with Jesus Christ right from the beginning. He inspired Christ. First of all, we talk about the protection of Christ for the first 30 years. But all the miracles, the love, all these things that Christ did came from the Holy Spirit. Now, point two. Moses is to anoint Joshua. Let's look at Numbers 27. Numbers 27. Numbers 27, and let's start reading at 18. If you're taking notes, we're going to read 18 through 23. 27, 18 through 23. Verse 18 of Moses, at Numbers 27. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Joshua is identified with the Holy Spirit. It's no accident that he is specifically identified with the Spirit so that we do not lose what Christ, what God is telling us has happened through history. In whom is the Holy Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. Now let me just stop. I want to continue reading, but let me just stop. What's going to happen in the upper room in chapter 14 is that Christ is going to do this very type of thing. He's going to be in a conversation with the disciples, and he's going to tell them, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to do the same thing that's happening here, Christ will do in regard to the Holy Spirit. So verse 19, have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey. In other words, obey him. The New American Standard has the him in italics. Obey him. People, what I'm trying to show you is that just as we believed and followed Christ, we believe and we follow the Holy Spirit. We trust the Spirit now. This is very beautiful how this works about. Come right on in. And so, now verse 21, and we are in Numbers 27, and we're reading verse 21. Numbers 27, 21, and what we're looking at, mine and Pam are looking on how they had Moses, and he's going to be taken, the person that will take his place is Joshua. Joshua will take the place of Moses, just as the Holy Spirit's going to take the place of Jesus Christ at his departure. And we're looking at the commissioning of Joshua and how Christ will commission the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and you shall put some of your authority on him, this is Joshua to Moses, in order, why will he do that? That all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. It's what Christ is going to do in the upper room with his disciples and us in turning over to the Holy Spirit. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Here's the Spirit. Just as you walk with me, you walk with him. Just as you trusted me, you trust him. Verse 21. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire of him by the judgment of the Urim before God, before the Lord, at his command. They shall go out, this is the command of Joshua, they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in. This is what we will do with the Holy Spirit, people. He leads us out, he leads us in. In other words, he leads us everywhere in our life. Both he and the sons of Israel with them, even all the congregation, are to follow Joshua. And Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and sent him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. So, this is sent a beautiful picture, the changing of the guard, Moses to Joshua, Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit. Point three. Point one, Monty, was in Exodus 24:13 and Numbers 11:28, Joshua was the servant of Moses. Then point two, Moses anoints Joshua to take over. Now point three. Moses is not permitted to enter the land, just as Jesus Christ is not to be part of the church. Jesus Christ does not touch planet Earth during what we understand as the church age. Even at our departure, the rapture, where do we meet the Lord? We meet the Lord in the air. The Holy Spirit will take us off of the earth and deliver us to the Lord. When I do weddings, I like to spend a few moments at the rehearsal pointing out, and it's my opportunity to give the gospel to, in the wedding rehearsal, that this is what's happening. The father or someone will bring the bride down. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit bringing the church to Christ. And they meet before they get to the altar. Then the father generally will turn the bride over to the groom, and then the groom takes him up to the altar. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit bringing the bride, the church, up to Jesus Christ in the air, and then Jesus Christ escorts us the rest of the way. That's what this is a picture of. This is what we're seeing here. And so, so at this point now, Moses is not permitted to enter the land. Jesus Christ is not to be part of the church, doesn't touch the earth, but departs, just as Moses did. All right, let's go back and read a couple of passages. First, let's read Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. Fifth book of the Old Testament. And we're going to read verses 37 and 38. Deuteronomy 1, 37 and 38. 37, the Lord was angry with me on your account, saying, not even you shall enter there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So, Moses is told he's not going to go in, but he's going to turn it over to Joshua, and Joshua will lead the people in. Let me give you another example where this occurs in the Bible that we have noted in passing before. That is with the Good Samaritan. Now, the Good Samaritan picks up the person, that's us, and heals us, that's salvation, and then he takes the person to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper is the Holy Spirit. He turns them over to the innkeeper, tells him to take care of them, and what does he tell the innkeeper? I will come back. I will come back and get them. So he's turning us over to the Holy Spirit. This is very important. Multitude of preachers and multitudes of people do not know how to be filled with the Spirit. They lose this whole understanding of the Holy Spirit. And some want to do it by works, like confession and feeling sorry and repentance. Others want to do it by some charismatic experience, all these things. But if we just sit back and let the Holy Spirit open the Scriptures to us, we see what's going on in history. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 1, 37 and 38, which we read. Now look at Deuteronomy 3, please. Deuteronomy 3. Now here I'd like to read a few more verses. We're going to read 23 through 28. 23 through 28. Starting at verse 23 of Deuteronomy 3. I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy strong hand. For what God is there in heaven, on earth, who can do such works and mighty acts as thine? Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, Enough. Speak to me no more of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes to the west and north and south and east and see it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over the Jordan. But he's going to be able to see it. But charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of this people, and he shall give them as an inheritance the land which you will only see. So, this is again a picture of what we're studying. Joshua is going to, Moses is going to be able to see the Lamb. He's not going to be able to enter. He's got to commission Joshua to do that. Jesus Christ is not going to be here on earth any time during the church age. He's not here. His presence is only spiritually by being inside of the believer by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you would, look with me at Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. See, in our study, Jesus Christ is making preparation to lead them. But the Holy Spirit's going to come and take His place. We will periodically go over these passages. It'll be later on in late part of chapter 14, but we'll do it again. But just to keep in your mind this beautiful picture that's going on in Scripture that so many people miss. Very few people see what we're looking at tonight. Deuteronomy 31. And for your notes, we're going to read 1 through 7. 1 through 7. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 31. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. It's his birthday. I don't know if they sang happy birth to him or not. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispose of them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. So the Lord God right now is Joshua, see? The Holy Spirit in our analogy study. And the Lord will do to them just as he did in Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land, which he destroyed them. Now, who was the leader of the people during these victories? Moses. But Moses is leaving. It will now be Joshua. So just as they followed the Lord or Moses in the battles, they now follow Joshua. That's the message for us. Christ brought us into salvation. Now the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in our spirituality. Let's read verse 5. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Now that phrase is going to become very important in the study of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. It's a powerful whole story that we're looking at going on in Scripture. It's too bad. Children of Israel just didn't understand all that was happening at this time. Now look at Deuteronomy 34. One last passage. Deuteronomy 34. One verse. Verse 9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is identified with him. Filled with the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And that will take it into the book of Joshua, and all that's involved in going into the land. Now, Moses must depart. Must die and depart, as it were. Moses not permitted to enter into the promised land, but his servant Joshua will take over and be the leader. Now, Moses will return. When will he return? When will Moses return if we're on the right track? In Revelation, in the middle of the tribulation. Or actually at the beginning, he'll be one of the two witnesses. So he will come back. Moses not allowed to enter the promised land. Jesus Christ not allowed to enter into the church. He's taken up into heaven. Will the Lord come back to this earth? Yeah, he'll come back and rule. So before Joshua can lead them into the promised land, Moses must depart. Before the Holy Spirit can lead the believer in the church, Jesus Christ must depart. Why must Jesus Christ leave the earth? So that you and I will walk by faith. People, wouldn't we all be tempted if we knew right now that our Lord and Savior was anywhere in the world? I'd want to be there. I'd not be satisfied with just following him on the internet. I'd move there. We all. So you'd have 1 million people trying to stay at a Holiday Inn somewhere. And they just don't have that many rooms. It can't happen. So he's got to leave so that we can all walk by the Holy Spirit now. And that's what's happened historically. Joshua was with Moses and was a servant of Moses. And then after the departure of Moses, he will become the deliverer. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus Christ as a servant of Christ. And when Jesus Christ departs, the Holy Spirit will become the deliverer. Moses, like Jesus Christ, will return in the tribulation. Moses and Elijah will return as the two witnesses. And this brings us to the second picture of this whole thing of departure and replacement. And that is Elijah and Elisha. So first we come to Elijah. We saw Elijah last night in our passage, and we noted his name. Let's just kind of look at it. Even in the English, you can pick it up. Elijah. Okay? See that E-L? That's L. That's God. And you can have Elohim, a lot of L's there, but L is God. And then you have the J-A-H. This is the abbreviated form of Jehovah. So, what you have is, God is Jehovah, or my God is Jehovah. That's what his name means. Now, the name of the prophet who will serve Elijah, then take Elijah's place, his name is very similar. His name is Elisha. His name is Elisha. Let's take his name. Well, you know the L is God, so you know that already. And Shua, S-H-U-A, Shua, Joshua, is a Joshua. Joshua means salvation. So this means salvation. So, or deliverance, either way you like. So God is salvation. God is my salvation. God is my deliverance, is what Elisha means. So you have Elijah, my God is Jehovah. Elisha, see, Elisha, God is, my God is salvation. My God is deliverance. So this is what the two names mean. Now let's go to the next step from that. Elijah, first reference is the famous judgment of the drought. And we noted that last night in our study of Revelation, how the two witnesses will have the power to withhold the rain. So, this was the spiritual drought of Israel. And what's this analogous to? What was the condition when Jesus Christ came to earth? Spiritual drought. Israel was in the wilderness. Israel was in a spiritual drought. That's when Elijah's called on. Elijah spent a great of the time of his ministry on the run. If we spend a whole time on Elijah, he spent his time on the run. Just as Jesus Christ spent his years of his public ministry on the run. Remember that? He had to get out of town. Why? They wanted to kill him. So we had it a lot. He snuck out. Remember we studied that? Well, if he had faith, he'd just stand up and let him shoot him. No. That's not smart. So Christ spent a great deal of his time moving around. Elijah spent a great deal of his time moving around. So this is what happens. But at a great point is made of his appointing one who would take his place. So We study a lot about Elijah, and we come to Elisha and their relationship and the appointment of Elijah's place. Let's look at 1 Kings. We read 1 Kings last night. So let's look at 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19. And we're going to just read two verses of 1 Kings 19. We're going to read verses 16 and 19. So let's read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, which says, "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel." That's the king. "And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall appoint as prophet in your place." So, this is the appointing of Elisha, is to be appointed in the place of Elijah. Look at verse 19. "So he departed from there," and this is Elijah, "and found Elisha," "and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him." I wish we had time to study that. But what does the number 12 immediately ring off to your mind? 12 tribes related to Israel. So, he was plowing with the 12 tribes. Plowing is you're working, trying to work with the 12 tribes of Israel of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. Now, that may not sound nice to you, does, but this was the custom. This is anointing him. Throwing the mantle means you now leave the field that you're plowing, and now you start and follow after what I've done. Now, before Elisha takes the place of Elijah, Elisha must first serve Elijah if we're going to keep this in proper tact. So, let's read and see if that happens. Let's read verse 19 through 21. Same chapter, 1 Kings 19. Verse 19. "So he departed from there," he, Elijah, "appointed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him, threw his mantle on him. And he, Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what I have done to you.'" In other words, "What have I done to you?" "So he returned from following him, took the pair of oxen, and sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him." There's a lot going on, but what I want you to see is he is now going to be the servant. He, Elisha, will first serve Elijah before he will do anything else. The Holy Spirit will first serve Jesus Christ before he takes over for Christ on earth. Now turn with me to 2 Kings. Hope you're writing these down because you've been taken on a rare journey in Scripture tonight. I doubt you'll hear this from too many other preachers. 2 Kings 2. And let's look at 2 Kings 2, and let's read together verse 9. 2 Kings 2, 9. "Now it came about, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you, before I depart. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he's going to be given the Holy Spirit and the mantle to rule. Elisha identified with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be given that from the Holy Spirit. People, these things that we've looked at very quickly tonight. I should have taken a month or two on Moses and Joshua, a month or two on Elijah and Elisha, but I wanted you to have it just kind of in your mind, those relationships and those departures. No accident. This is no accident. These things are occur through history. Before Elisha can start his ministry, Elijah must depart. And Elijah does depart in a most dramatic way, as did Moses, as did our Lord. We're going to study how the Lord was taken up in Acts 1. They all watched him go up in a cloud. In fact, they just stood there watching. And the angel came and said, what are you looking at? Get to work. In other words, get on with the spreading of the gospel, telling others of Christ. He's going to come back. So before Elisha can take Elijah's place, Elijah has to depart. Before Joshua can take Moses' place, Moses has to depart. Before the Holy Spirit can take Christ's place, Christ has to depart. Both Moses and Elijah are types of Jesus Christ. They came first. They came first. But had to depart so that the ones that were called after them could come. And that would be Joshua and Elisha. They're types of the Holy Spirit. Both Joshua and Elisha served the one whose place they took. I'm just repeating these things over. I want you to get it in your mind so this is so easy to see what's happening in history. Elisha served Elijah, then took his place. Joshua served Moses, then took his place. The Holy Spirit served Jesus Christ, then took his place. First, Elijah must depart. Then the ministry of Elisha. Look at 2 Kings 2. Well, we're right there. 2 Kings 2, 1. This time, verse 1. 2 Kings 2, 1. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by the whirlwind to heaven. He didn't die. He just take it up. That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now look verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. What's going on? Be with me. Be right there with me is what's going on. We have another interesting parallel with Jesus Christ. Elisha will watch Elisha be taken up. Now let's read verse 11. Then it came about, as they were going along and talking, that's Elijah and Elisha, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So that's the story of Elijah. And that's why, plus many several other things. One of the reasons we surmise that the two witnesses who are not identified, but we surmise that one of those two witnesses is Elijah, taken up and not see death. Okay. Now, by the way, remember, it doesn't say here so that he wouldn't see death. It just says he didn't see it. Whereas with Enoch, he was taken up so that he would not see death. So some people think Enoch was one of the two witnesses. But why, if the whole purpose of taking him up so that he wouldn't see death, why would the Lord bring him back so that he would see death? Doesn't make sense. But with Elijah and Moses, we have just everything pretty much in its proper place. So verse 11, note carefully, which separated the two of them, as though they were one. Watch now. separated, please watch this, separated as though they were one, and now they're separated. So that Elijah could be taken home, but Elisha must stay. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit and Christ are as one, but they are now, as it were, separated, and the Lord goes up to heaven. And the Holy Spirit stays here on earth. These things are so beautiful that the Holy Spirit says, if you don't see it, that's fine. I'm sharing with you what God saw, what I see. And if you don't, then that's fine. So, this is Elijah, they must be separated. Now, with that in mind, so that they're separated, Elijah can go up, Elisha can stay and minister. Look at verse 12 now. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Okay, another very strong picture that they were one, but one now departs and the other remains. Then he, Elisha, the one left behind, took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. This is a picture of the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They are one. One goes to heaven, and Christ sends the Holy Spirit to us. They are one. They're now, Christ goes to heaven. The Holy Spirit's going to stay here to guide us, to lead us. That's why we walk by faith in the Spirit. Elijah departs, but the one who was with him remains. The one who served him continues to serve him by remaining on earth. You see, people, the Holy Spirit is still serving the Lord. Got to get the picture of the relationship of the Trinity. Well, you never want to lose that they're always together. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're working together. And so the Holy Spirit is serving the Son by remaining here on earth. So Jesus Christ departs, but the one who will serve, who served him, remains. Now look at verses 13 and 14. Just we're following this whole story, but we're getting you a little idea of what's happening. 13 to 14. He also, Elisha, he also took up the mantle of Elijah and fell from him. And remember, we saw how he threw it over Elisha. And returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elijah crossed over. What do you see here? This is important. This is so important, people. What Elijah did, Elisha does. Now, where have we seen this? A lot of people lose this picture. Okay, here's Jerusalem. This is the abstract of the eastern portion of the Mediterranean. Here's Egypt, coming down like this. Now, let's take Moses. Moses was the instrument that parted what? Sea, so they would walk across. Over here is Jordan. What did Joshua do at Jordan? He divided them. A lot of people know about the parting of the Red Sea. A lot of people have not read how closely resembling what happened at the Red Sea happened at Jordan. What Moses did here, Joshua does here. Now, think with me. Think with me. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, delivering us out from the penalty of sin. the Holy Spirit does in the Christian life by delivering us out from the power of sin. So you have with the Red Sea and Jordan, they are different, but they are similar. What happened at the cross and what happens every time you and I trust the Holy Spirit when we're in sin, they are different, but they are similar. We're being delivered. Jesus Christ delivered us from, so let's just put it on the board, He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He delivered us or saved us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit, when we trust Him. So we trusted in Christ, kapow, you're delivered. You trust the Holy Spirit, He delivers us from the power of sin. So what you've just read is so important. So let's look at it again, just so we be sure we get this down now. In verses 13 and 14. 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah, this is Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah, fell from him. Think about this, fell from him. To fall, it comes up to down. What's Christ going to do when he gets to heaven? He's going to do what? Send down the Holy Spirit. See? He's up. So the mantle, that's authority, from Elijah falls down. Jesus Christ is going to send down, as it were, fall down, the Holy Spirit to us. This is beautiful. So, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. So get the picture, Christ sending down the Holy Spirit. And struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, what did the waters do? The waters divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over just as when Elijah had done that. This is powerful. What Elijah did, Elisha does. Look back and read verse 8 with me. Same chapter. And Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Kapow, people. Same thing. What Elijah did. Do you think this is an accident? Just a fun story? No. Just a story for children? No, people. God's talking to us. If we'll let Him open our eyes and we can see what is happening here. This is beautiful. So Elijah parts the sea. Moses parted the sea. Jesus Christ delivers us. Joshua parts the Jordan. Elisha parts the waters that he can walk across. The Holy Spirit delivers us from sin. And dear people, if people can get this picture, we are dead at the Red Sea in sin, there's nothing we can do but trust Him, right? Same thing when we're dead in sin as believers. The believer is, when you and I are in sin, here we are as believers. But people, when we are in sin, in the power of sin, we are carnal, which means we are spiritually dead, which means there's nothing we can do. The only power a dead person has is what? Faith. So, here we were dead over here as unbelievers. The only thing we can do is faith. The only thing we can do on this side, because when you and I are in sin, people, it's why I don't understand people that, oh, now you can confess. Now you can repent. Now you can do something to make yourself alive. No, people, please see what's happening through Scripture. We're dead. There's nothing, we have eternal life, but spiritually, on earth, we're dead. The only thing we can do is to trust Him, faith. So, you have these two events with Elijah and Elisha, Moses and Joshua, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is no accident. Verse 8, Elijah divides and delivers, picture of salvation 1. Verse 14, Elisha divides and delivers, a picture of salvation too, the work of the Holy Spirit. So these things just flow through history. They just flow through. Now, many will not see these things, but it's there for those of us who want to see. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, what the Holy Spirit does for us in the Christian life, and all that we do on both sides is our faith. One more closing principle. Believers recognize the changing of the guard. That is, just as they followed Elijah, they now will follow Elisha. Look at verse 15. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him, bowed themselves to the ground before him. People, this is what we are to do with the Holy Spirit. That's why we are beckoned to follow him, to walk with him. Paul uses several different pictures in Galatians chapter 5. Be led of the Spirit, follow the Spirit, walk after the Spirit. All these kinds of things. These are the things we would do, and they did with Christ when he was Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth. And so he is now gone. So just as the people in 2 Kings chapter 2 here, verse 15, they said, okay, here was Elisha, he's gone. Elijah, here is Elisha, we have to follow him. This is what we should do. Here is Jesus Christ. We followed him. He's gone. We now follow the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to lead us. This has caused a lot of confusion with some people. They become charismatics. And they've gotten some idea of the Holy Spirit, but they messed it up. Other people are so frightened of the Holy Spirit, they never will get with it. But there is a wonderful, clear understanding of walking by faith in the Spirit of the living God. And we just follow these things that have happened through history. Any questions? Okay, we'll pick it up here next Wednesday night. Did y'all follow tonight now? The three analogies and all that went with it. Okay, because we skipped a lot of verses, but all I want to do is highlight. Like I said, boy, we could go back and make a whole series out of Moses and Joshua, a whole series out of Elijah and Elisha, but I just wanted you to kind of get all three of the pictures right now in your mind so that we see what's happening throughout the Bible. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, what an unbelievably gracious God you are. What a genius God you are, and what a compassionate God you are. The people needed Joshua. Moses was gone, and you sent him a leader. The people needed Elisha. Elijah is gone. You didn't leave him alone. You sent him Elisha with your Spirit. Jesus Christ, your Son, you called home. He's home with you. But what about us? You saved us, but you didn't leave us as orphans. You sent us your Spirit to guide us. All through Scripture, we just see what a compassionate God you are. A merciful God, an understanding God. How could we not be controlled by such love? How could we not want to emulate this love in our life? And we can by your Spirit. Father, pray your Spirit take the things we've seen tonight. It's going to take some time, mold over, and take root. But to see just how beautiful this picture is in the Scriptures and in our own lives. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.